Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less. Only at Boston Pizza. $15 in this economy? Unbelievable.
Great deal.
Great deal. Sat's back.
I am back.
You sound great.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, see, I mean, you might not hear me laugh.
Yeah.
Because like my laugh might be silent. So if I'm silent, it might just be me laughing.
All right. That's we'll take that into account for today.
Like right now, I was laughing. You can hear it. It's going to be like that.
A lot to get into. Ed Jovanovsky is going to join us, Panthers analyst. Also, Harmon Dial will join us as we dive in on some developing Canucks topics. Let's get to it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
It's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And there seems to be some development on the coaching front here, Sat, as far as the Canucks search day to day. There's like little bits of news that continue to trickle out.
Yeah.
And you weren't here yesterday, but you do have some more details as we've seen some come out over the course of the day. Manny and Adam Foote continue to be prominent in this coaching search, but also some other names are joining the potential candidates to be the next head coach.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because you know, we have a rundown, mm-hmm. and we put stuff into it. Like, this is Google Docs we prepared the show in, and so one of the things that we put in was, hey, other names that are kind of out there that we're kind of hearing around the Vancouver Canucks. And one was Mitch Love and the other was Todd Reardon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elliot Friedman just scooped us like 30 minutes ago. But yeah,
Are we accusing Elliot of hacking into our rundown today?
No, I just think Elliot's really good at his job and he's ahead of us,
true.
You know?
That's probably true.
You know, and he was on NHL Network and he kind of mentioned Mitch Love and Todd Reardon as kind of being two guys. And we'll play the clip here coming up in a second because I do think it's notable. But I think for all the talk, and you know, we mentioned even going back some weeks that Adam Foote
mm-hmm.
was a serious contender here, and we know that Manny Malhotra, of course, is also an internal candidate. But the question is, how many other candidates are there, and how serious are they about those candidates?
Yeah, and it feels like they've really gone through, I guess, the initial batch of interviews, and you know that. They're whittling it down to their group of finalists, I guess you could say, right? The finalists for the Anaheim job were said to be Joel Quenneville, Jay Woodcroft, Rick Tocchet, right? Who are the Canucks group of finalists? And I think Manny is obviously somebody that's very close to it, still coaching with Abbotsford. They're on to the next round mm-hmm. of the Calder Cup playoffs. Adam Foote was the associate coach of Rick Tocchet. And then there is the two other names that are emerging, Mitch Love, Todd Reardon, are two that continue to be a part of this conversation. Here's what Elliot Friedman had to say not long ago on the NHL Network.
Who's the one guy that's maybe holding up the coach's market?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Tocchet is. I think that's the easy answer. He's got to pick which way he wants to go, or TV. Tocchet is definitely number one on that list. I think another guy, and I've mentioned his name on your show a couple of times, once his team is eliminated, I think he's going to have some in-person interviews to do, and that's going to be Mitch Love from Washington. I've heard that I believe Vancouver's interviewed him. I believe Pittsburgh has interviewed him, and I think there's more who are going to want, but he's in the playoffs, so I think that's only been very informal. They're going to want to meet him in person. I think that there's, there's a couple guys. I think Jay Woodcroft has interviewed about three or four places. I think guys like Jeff Blashill and Jeff Halpern have interviewed in a couple of places. I think, it was reported that DJ Smith has interviewed in a couple of places. I think Todd Reardon, the former Capital coach, may have interviewed in Vancouver, for example. So Marco Sturm, I think, has interviewed in Vancouver and Boston. There's a few guys here, but I think Tocchet is one that has to get sorted out. And I want to see if any of the teams that are interested in Mitch Love decide to go in another direction, or they wait to talk to him in person.
There is Elliot Friedman on NHL Network, and the latest on Rick Tocchet is it's looking like the Philadelphia Flyers are closing in on Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, that's kind of been the rumor today. John Buchigras and Elliot and others kind of mentioning. So it seems like that's picked up a lot of steam.
Yeah.
I'd imagine the money is really... We can get into that a bit more.
A little bit later. But the question was framed around Rick Tocchet, and then there's a lot of Vancouver intel in there from Elliot Friedman saying that... Mitch Love has been interviewed, Todd Reardon's been interviewed, and Marco Sturm, as you reported last week, or as we talked about last week.
Yeah, and he's a guy, of course, that is very much in the mix. So the question really comes down to, how do you rank these guys? And I think it's difficult, and like we've mentioned, I think if you look at it, it seems like Manny's at the top of the list.
Yep.
You know?
It would make sense.
It seems like he's that guy. Now, who's second on the list? I'm not quite sure. I think, of
course...
Not
Adam Foote?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can sit here and say it's like 1-2. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if they're at a point where they're ranking him that way. You know what I mean? I think from the outside, just to be fair about it. But I do think there are other people that are under real consideration. And I think one thing that does matter here is a level of familiarity. Vellucci's name was mentioned before.
Yeah.
Does he get an in-person?
Right.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, so you can't dismiss him. And Todd Reardon is a guy who's had experience with him in the past. Now, I don't know if this is going to go beyond maybe having a discussion over the phone or whatever, or Zoom, into an actual real contender, but he would fit as a guy who's had NHL experience. Didn't go great for him, but has NHL experience. He's obviously been a head coach before, and he's a guy that they're familiar with from their time in Pittsburgh through a couple of different roles, right? So I think that familiarity does matter to them, especially heading into a really big season for the Canucks here, Reach. Like this management team, we're talking about, you know, right now, and I know people are mad and they've lost faith in management. Their jobs are not on the line right now. But if next year doesn't go well, I think they understand how big this year is. I mean, they're not signed to like 4 or 5 year extension contracts. I mean, there's a couple of years left for these guys too in management. Like, next year's a big year for these guys. Are they going to go with an unproven guy that they don't know?
That would be, it would be a little bit surprising. I wouldn't say it's their last coaching hire, but
it could be.
If things do go sideways, similarly to the way that they did this past season, yeah, I don't think this management group is going to have a lot more kicks at the can if things keep going the way that they did just now.
And that's not to say that Mitch Love isn't a serious contender, because again, coming into the show, we were going to talk about him and being a guy like, hey, they may have discussed, you know, they may have had combos with Mitch Love. He's a BC boy, right? He has been a head coach before, WHL, AHL, bench as an associate in the NHL as well. So he has a lot of good things going for him. He's a guy that was very much in the mix with Calgary, and he's been in the mix and is in the mix elsewhere as well. But obviously the Caps are still in the playoffs, maybe not for much longer, but they're still in the postseason. But I'm not quite sure that we can sit here yet, Reach, and say, like, ironclad, here's the hierarchy behind Manny. I think Manny, of course. And here's the other thing. Are they going to name Manny the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks while he's coaching the Abbey Canucks in the playoffs?
Could it be a distraction, I guess? I guess it's kind of a weird spot, right? Like, even if you don't name Manny and you name somebody else, that essentially means Manny lost out on the job. So I could see it both ways. But yeah, it's probably not ideal having to name Manny while he's still coaching with Abbotsford.
Yeah, I think if all things are equal, they would if Manny's going to be the guy that they'd wait until after Abby's done in the playoffs.
It's going to be hard to keep a lid on it.
But that's going to be the thing. The other thing too is, if there are other teams, like we heard about Pittsburgh potentially being involved or interested in Manny, nothing stops them from contacting him.
Yeah.
Getting permission and contacting him. So I think it's one of those things where you can't just keep him away. So like you can't just sit there quietly. So your hand may be forced here one way or another. But I do think it's really fascinating going through the list of coaches, and I think it's now crystallizing this afternoon finally, because I think as much as we talk about Sturm, like I knew there was at least a couple other guys we haven't spoken about, and now you can add Mitch Love and Todd Reardon to that mix.
So Mitch Love with Washington right now, so hard to get one of those in-person interviews. Washington has a game Thursday against the Carolina Hurricanes, where they could potentially be eliminated from cup contention. So he could be available for a interview as early as later this week or early next week. in person. Todd Reirden was with the Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously is not going to be a part of that group anymore with Mike Sullivan moving on to the New York Rangers. Reirden's got an interesting track record. I remember when he took over the Washington job from Barry Trotz. If I remember correctly, like the Washington players almost campaigned to have him take over the job after they had just won the cup with Trotz and he moved on to get the big contract with the New York Islanders that he did. And it obviously didn't go well. But at the time, like he was thought of extremely highly. Like he had this sort of a thing going where he's like, he's the defense whisperer. You know, like he's been able to really develop some guys on the back end for the Washington Capitals. And that's why he's been a really strong assistant or part of a lot of benches over the last decade plus in the NHL.
Well, you mentioned about him and we've seen it. You mentioned he was very much a defensive specialist, which made sense being on the, you know, Barry Trotz staff and him knowing the defenseman really well, but coach's structure. And one thing that I've heard about Marco Sturm kind of asking around is he's well thought of because he's big on structure. We know how big that is for Rutherford, right? And if you look at Reirden and the Pittsburgh Ties, of course, and all those things, you kind of see that line up a little bit there
as
well.
So you're saying some of these candidates have a lot in common.
Yeah, I think
so. Have a play style in common.
I really do believe so. Yeah. I think Marco Sturm fits that as far as how he sees the game, how he wants the team to play. You look at Reirden, look at Manny, for instance. His team is very much mirroring what the Vancouver Canucks, the way they were playing. Foot, I think, goes without saying. He was part of the previous staff here. Mitch Love, you know, we can do some more digging, but I think as far as the way he's thought of, he's also thought of as somebody who understands how to get a team to play the right way. So I think it's very clear the type of coach they're going after.
This text comes in from Rosie. I'd love to have Manny because he's doing such a great job with Abby, but if he gets hired here, he'll struggle because the team isn't that great and he'll get fired in a couple of years and then they'll lose him. You know, that's, I can see why, you know, there is a negative disposition from a lot of fans as to where the Canucks are headed, but this is still a team with Quinn Hughes and that does, you know, in a poker term, gives you a chip and a chair. So there is that part of the Canucks job. But you know, Rosie, you kind of you kind of hint at something there. And I'm not sure the Canucks job is one that is like, as far as the available openings would be, not that any are really all that coveted, but I don't think the Canucks job is seen as one of the better ones out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, which ones are
for open candidates?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like there are a lot of great jobs anyways right now. Like,
I mean, no.
Right? Like, so, I mean, and so, yeah, none of the jobs are great. But,
you know, Chicago, you get Connor Bedard, right? You still got future. You got runway because, you know,
it's a slower
build.
Yeah, but it's still a rebuild. You don't know if you're going to be there in 2 years.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Rick Tocchet sees that as a better position.
Well, getting money. I think that's about money more than anything else.
Yeah, that's probably. I don't disagree.
I think that's what it's going to be.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that one.
Because I don't look at. Yeah, you can. In Pittsburgh, I mean,
Pittsburgh, you get to coach Crosby
for another year or two.
Other than that.
Yeah, it's like a novelty act almost. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying the Canucks job is great, but I'm saying, like, let's not sit here and glorify all these other jobs. Like, they're collecting. Candidates, if you're looking at Vancouver, you can look at it as one of the worst jobs. You can also look at it as one of the better jobs because there's not a lot separating them, right? So it depends on how you want to rank these jobs, right? But like, who's saying no to Vancouver outside of Rick so far? Like, they haven't gone after the other established guys.
Yeah, they're not. Well, and that's part of it. Like, none of these names are the Laviolettes, Gerard Gallants, or anything like that. It's, you know, guys that aren't as well established as those two would be considered in this conversation.
Yeah, and you know, I think when you look at the guys who've been there for a long time before, like, I don't think any of them inspire confidence.
No.
Nobody's excited about Laviolette in this market. Nobody's excited about Gerard Gallant in this market.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that matters one way or another. But I think as far as the guys they're going after, Manny's going to be interesting. Let's say Manny's the guy. Does Manny have other options? How does he view it? That's going to be the test, right? But obviously, if Vancouver comes with a good offer, and if you look at Pittsburgh and Vancouver, which job would you rather have?
Pittsburgh or Vancouver? I'd probably say Vancouver, yeah.
Because the Pittsburgh job, like, you know you're not going to stay there beyond 3 years because they're so far away right? Like maybe something happens, you make the playoffs 1 year and then you get out of it. Like
the term I like to use is you're the guy before the guy.
Yeah. That very much is that job, right? Like a mop-up job. And you can say the same thing for Chicago to some extent. Like,
yeah.
Because the previous guy didn't work out, you're hoping that Richardson would stay there for like 2 or 3 years and then you move on to the next guy.
It's but
like
it
you
got to, so bad that
you had to do something.
Yeah, they had to let him go. You know, Philadelphia, you could say, is that too. But obviously, if Rick Tocchet ends up there, maybe that's not quite the case. It is interesting, and I know we're going to get a lot of thoughts on this, but Tocchet appears to be inching closer to the gig in Philadelphia. And you know, we talked about it when it was first reported. I think it's pretty obvious why you know, the Canucks were not too pleased with how, as soon as John Tortorella got canned in Philadelphia, everybody started to point towards Tocchet.
Yeah.
And the Canucks tried to shut that down immediately and really holding firm on their option year. Obviously, we know what's happened since then, but, you know, the ties have been there for a long time. You know, from, like, if I'm just grading the situation, like, I don't think Philadelphia is anywhere close to contention in the next, I'd say like 3 years. Like you're in a long term build if you're going there as Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, but if they're giving him say a 6 year deal and he's getting paid $5 or $6 million per season,
yeah,
then it's like, hey, at least I'm getting compensated for, you know, and he's going to be the guy perhaps that sees it through because you're making this long commitment to him. And
it could be a 5x5 situation there. Right?
So the excuse that Tocchet gave management was it came down to a personal reason and that he wanted
East Coast
to be in the East Coast. At least if he goes to Philly, it would align with that reasoning.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't align with Seattle.
No. And Seattle is apparently still in the mix per Elliot Friedman, you heard there. But
yeah. How much of that is...
He's got conflicting reports that Tocchet's either rejected it, but he hasn't, or he hasn't yet. So
if you're Rick Tocchet, why would you reject anybody when you're a free agent? You use it for leverage at the very least. So I don't know how much of the Seattle stuff is earnest, like he would actually go there, or how much of it is, hey, of course I'm willing to go to Seattle because I can play these guys off of each other.
Yeah. I can get more money out of it.
Yeah, you're not smart if you're cutting yourself off from potential opportunities because it can drive your value up, right? So I don't know how earnest that is, but yeah, I mean, the Flyers are years away. Like, he's not going to the Flyers because their team is any closer.
Yeah.
Could you say that you're just more comfortable and the organization perhaps is more stable?
Mm-hmm.
Does he feel that perhaps? I mean, he would have to answer that himself, but at the very least, if he goes to Philly, you can look at it and say, well, the personal reason he gave and being on the East Coast, at least it lines up with that.
Boston is also said to have interviewed Tocchet, but may not be willing to play in the salary that even the Canucks were for Rick Tocchet.
Well, it's not going
to
happen then. Yeah. You know, like, so the reason he would go to a team
they didn't
like
offer
Philly,
Jim Montgomery $4+ million, so no, I can't imagine they would do it for Tocchet.
The Canucks gave Rick Tocchet a good offer, but it was still not going to be the highest offer he was going to get.
Yeah.
So and we mentioned this when Tocchet left. So if Tocchet looked at Vancouver and said, I don't know if Quinn's going to be there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I believe in the direction of the organization in general, but or whatever. And I'm going to make good money, but not the money that I can make.
Yeah.
Why should I be in Vancouver? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think ultimately part of it is like, because if I'm going to go somewhere where I don't, the future is murky, at least I'm going to get compensated for it.
Yes.
You know? And not to say that, you know, 4.5 or 4 million or whatever over 5 years isn't good. But let's say it was 4/5. That's 20 million. Well, 6x6 is 36.
Yeah.
Let's just say for argument's sake, even 6x5, that's 30 million. Like, there's a big difference between where the Canucks were at potentially what he gets with Philly, if it's that type of offer. If it's not, then I'm just not sure what was really going on.
To the playoff central roundup. The Oilers put the Knights on the brink of elimination with a big win last night. Sad. I'm like kind of looking at the Oilers and I honestly, like, I'm a little bit shocked at how well they've played even in the absence of Matthias Ekholm. They looked incredible last night.
Last night they were one of the best games I think they've played.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. It made
even game one of this series, you know, like the first period was a little iffy, but then they turned it on afterwards.
Yeah, they just didn't give Vegas much of anything.
Yeah.
They were just the superior team. Like, I watched that game. And
they got under the skin of Adin Hill. It was just like they checked all the boxes last night.
Yeah, Adin Hill completely lost the plot. last night. Just completely lost the plot. And you can tell he's a guy who's not confident.
Yeah.
You know, like some goalies, even whether it's the Hextalls or Dwayne Rolsons, like they would get in your face. That's who they were. Like they were going to be feisty no matter what. Aiden Hill's not going after guys normally.
No.
So when you're like, you're off your game, man, you're in your own head. And he hasn't been good in this series. He's been downright bad, I'd say, in the series.
And you win games where McDavid or Draisaitl doesn't score. That's a recipe of goodness for the Oilers. And Evander Kane has looked way better than I imagined he would. But a fresh Evander Kane here in the playoffs has been really good for the Oilers.
Justin and CR, keep praising the Oilers, Jinxio.
So the Oilers take a 3-1 series lead on the Knights. Canes, they got a 3-1 series lead as well. And Jets Stars lone game on the card for tonight, which is kind of disappointing. You know, you like to have a couple of games. But, you know, it's kind of leaning towards a time where we will only have the one game for the night. Miro Heiskanen is set to return for the Dallas Stars. Leafs and Panthers will continue their series tomorrow. They had extended time off, 2 days off between games 4 and 5 for the Leafs Panthers. Coming up, Ed Jovanovsky is going to join us. Guests on Sportsnet 650 call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Jovo Cop next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.